right, let's turn one more time, if you would please, to the book of Habakkuk, and we'll go to chapter 2. In our study together last time, we came to the end of the book. We saw the final chapter in this book that records for us a prophet who saw the wickedness of his own nation. And while that certainly disturbed him, he was even more disturbed by the fact that it seemed as though God was not doing anything about it. And so we saw then how that Habakkuk, after a time of prayer, was given a revelation from the Lord that God was going to do something about the sins of his people. And he was going to send a nation, the nation of the Chaldeans, and he was going to send that nation against the nation of Judah. And we saw those people described. They were described as a strong people, a fierce people, an idolatrous and a wicked people. In fact, they were even more wicked than the people of Judah. And so now Habakkuk has another issue that he has to try to wrestle with, and that is, how can God use a people that are more wicked than the people of Judah to deal with the sins of Judah? And you remember we saw the biblical principle that judgment begins in the house of God. God deals with his people first, and then he deals with the rest of the world. And so we saw how the Lord God is taking notes, and after God had used the Chaldeans to deal with his own people, then he would certainly deal with the Chaldeans themselves. And you remember we saw a series there of five woes that God pronounced against the Chaldean people. But then right in the middle of all of that, we saw a statement by the prophet. We kind of skimmed over it. We didn't say a whole lot about it. But tonight I want us to go back and I want us to look at that statement in more detail. It's a statement that is actually quoted by the Apostle Paul in three other places in the Bible. It's found in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. It's found in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. It's found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. And the statement that is quoted is the statement that is found in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 4. And here's what it says. It says, "The just shall live by his faith." The just shall live by his faith. It was true then, and it's true tonight. The same thing is still true. So before we leave this book, I want us to have sort of a postscript, I guess we could call it, and I want us to go back as children of God, and I want us to think about this issue of living by faith, or we could put it like this, the issue of trusting God even when it seems like God is against us. Have you ever been there? Sure. Well, how do we trust Him? How do we trust God when it seems that God is against us? And so in our study tonight, I want to challenge each of us to just make the decision right now that beginning tonight, we're going to live a life of faith. We're going to live a life of faith. And I want to issue that challenge by speaking of two things for the next few minutes. First of all, I want us to consider the introduction to faith. The introduction to faith. And by way of introduction, we need to begin with, first of all, the defining of faith. What does it mean when we talk about faith? One writer has well said that faith is a hard thing for most of us to comprehend. Even those who do not have a problem with it can't really put their hands on it because it's not something you can reach out and touch. You can't feel it, you can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it. But it's real. It's real. In fact, the biblical definition of faith, it's found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. Here's what it says. It says, "Now faith," now here's the definition, okay? "Faith is the substance of things hoped 4, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is simply living in absolute assurance that the things that we cannot see, yet we have assurance of them because of the evidences that we can see. That makes sense? In other words, let me put it like this. How many here tonight believe in God? Oh, come on now. This is not a trick. This is not a trick question, okay? How many believe in God? Okay, that's better. Second question. How many have seen God? None of us. None of us have seen God. And yet, our faith in God is not what the world would call a blind faith. It's not a blind faith because our faith in God is based on the evidences of God that we are able to see. In fact, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 20. He said, the invisible things of Him, talking about God, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. So even though we cannot say that we have ever seen God, yet we believe in God because we have seen the evidences of His existence, which is the creation of the world. So a belief in God's existence and the assurance that He will stand true to His Word in the future as He has in the past. That's what faith is all about. That's what faith is all about. Well, that brings us to the second point that I want us to notice, and that is this. The source of faith. And we all know this source of faith. It's clearly stated for us in Romans 10, 17, where it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the more time we spend in this book, the stronger our faith is going to become. Because this is the source of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Well, why is this thing of faith so important? Well, let's talk about that. Let's notice letter C, the importance of faith. And faith is vitally important for several reasons. First of all, because it brings salvation. It brings salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And so it is by faith, by believing in the promises of God and believing in the provision that God made for us through the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That's how we have salvation. And so it's by faith, through God's grace, that we're saved. Not only does it bring salvation, but this faith is vitally important for our lives because, number two, it provides direction. It provides direction. Now, the Apostle Paul stated this point over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Here's what he said. He said, we walk by faith, talking about in our Christian life. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. Now, the wise man explained it. I'll get it right in a minute. Paul stated it. Solomon explained it in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord. That's faith. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. And so this thing of faith, trusting in God, believing in God as we walk through this thing we call life, with all the decisions that we have to make and the choices that we have to make, all of that we need to do it depending on God for His leading and His guiding and His directing. And we do that by faith. So this thing of faith, we're saved by it. It brings salvation. It provides direction for us in the decisions that we need to make in life. But then there's a third thing that we need to understand that makes this thing of faith so very, very important, and that is this: it pleases God. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 that without faith, if we do not have faith in God and we are not resting confidently in His promises, without faith, it is difficult to please God. Is that what it says? No. No, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Bottom line, someone has well said, living by faith is not an option. It is a must. It is a must. The importance of faith. Then I want you to notice letter D. We also find the guarantees of faith. There are some things that faith will guarantee us. When we begin to live by faith, it is a guarantee that it will be a battle. When we live by faith, you can just rest assured it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle. And that is because the world and the flesh and the devil will always seek to undermine your faith. They will always seek to destroy your faith. And when those attacks come, that's when we need to take up what the Bible calls in Ephesians 6, 17. That's when we need to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, so that our faith might be strengthened. When the attacks come and our faith begins to waver, that's not the time to drop out of church. That's not the time to stop reading your Bible or spending time in prayer. That's the time when you need to dig deeper into the Word of God, that your faith might be strengthened. But we also want you to know that even though we are in this battle and we have the sword of the Spirit, it's a wonderful comfort to know that we do not fight alone. We do not fight alone. In fact, listen to what the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31 and verse number 32. The Lord Jesus is speaking, and here's what He said. He's talking to Simon Peter, and He said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." You understand what that means, right? In other words, Satan wants to break you apart, just like wheat is broken and the kernel is separated from the husk. Satan's wanting to get a hold of your life. He's wanting to shake you. He's wanting to break you. He's wanting to tear you apart. He wants to sift you like wheat. But notice verse 32, but. Now this is Jesus talking. "I have prayed for you." I have prayed for you. And what did He pray? "That thy faith fail not." When we go through life, we can be rest assured that living by faith, it's going to be a battle. But we have the Word of God, and we have the Son of God making intercession for us. What a wonderful thing that is. And so therefore, the next point is very, very true. The guarantee of faith, not only will it be a battle, number two, it will bring a victory. It will bring a victory. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4, the apostle said, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." You see, we do not have to worry about life and all of the ups and downs that we face in our life, because those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have a wonderful assurance that we can take hold of by faith, and we can take hold of the assurance that God has given in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where it says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And so that is the introduction to faith. But now I want us to notice a second thing, and that is the application. The application of faith. The application of faith. Couple of things here. First of all, let's notice the application of faith for the prophet. The application of faith for the prophet. In our study, we have seen how that Habakkuk wrestled with things that he just simply could not understand. He's looking at things and he's scratching his head and he's wondering, God, what in the world are you doing? He can't understand what is going on around him. He heard how that the Lord God was going to deal with the Chaldeans. He heard how that these five woes of judgment were going to come upon them. And yet in spite of that, you remember his response, very human, very natural response that he had. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, he said, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. I've heard your speech. But my faith has sort of evaporated and fear has taken its place. I've heard your speech and I was afraid. And then you remember we saw how that Habakkuk then reviewed in his mind how God had dealt with the Jewish nation through their history. We saw how that he remembered how that the Lord God had delivered the Jewish people from their wicked enemies that had oppressed them. And how that God had done great things for them so many times throughout their history as a nation. But in spite of all of that, we find Habakkuk again finds that his faith faltered. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 3 and then verse 16, when I heard, my belly trembled. Remember that one? My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. And all of his fear came for the simple reason that his focus had shifted. All of this fear that Habakkuk is feeling right now has come upon him simply because of the fact his focus has shifted from the Lord God to the circumstances. And when our focus shifts from God to the circumstances, our faith will always suffer. It will always suffer. In fact, you remember the story of Peter, right? Peter, you remember, was in a situation and he got his eyes off the Lord, began to look at the circumstances, and he suddenly had a sinking feeling, right? He began to sink. He was walking on the water, totally focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, doing something that no one else has ever done. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 30, though, that when he saw the wind boisterous, you get the picture? He gets out of the boat, he's walking on the water, he's looking at Jesus, but all of a sudden the focus changes, and now he's looking at the wind. He sees the wind is boisterous, and he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried unto the Lord, saying, Lord, save me. And I believe that's exactly what Habakkuk did. And so therefore we saw how Habakkuk overcame his fear, how that Habakkuk determined that no matter what difficulties were coming and no matter what hardships were going to come his way, his determination was that he would joy, he would rejoice in the God of his salvation. We saw that in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and in verse number 19. In other words, Habakkuk had discovered the same kind of faith in spite of all the circumstances. He discovered the same kind of faith that the Apostle Paul spoke of in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, when he said, For I am persuaded. That simply means I am totally convinced. I am absolutely certain that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, just in case I missed something, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so the prophet Habakkuk, the apostle Paul, gave their statements of faith that no matter what circumstances that they might face, even though it was a fearful thing and even though it was a frightening thing that caused physical discomfort, yet they were determined they're going to live by faith. They're going to live by faith. And they would have their lives lived in a way that would be totally dependent on the promises of God. Living by faith. Now that's for the prophet. Lotus Nutter B for the saints. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about me. Talking about you, the saints. I mentioned earlier that Habakkuk's statement of faith is quoted three times by the Apostle Paul in his writings, and in each case a different aspect of Habakkuk's statement is being emphasized. It's mentioned three times, and yet each time there's a different aspect of it that is being pointed out. For example, number one, we are saved by faith. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And so therefore in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible says that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, and here's the reason why. Because the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Even in the Old Testament, it was taught that men were saved by faith, and the same is certainly true today. Salvation is not merely the subtraction of sin, but it is the addition of righteousness in our life. And so therefore, the just man is spiritually alive because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a second aspect, and that is this: by faith we are growing. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, "For therein," and of course, the context in the previous verse, it tells us the therein that is being referred to there is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." In other words, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is in the gospel of Jesus Christ that we discover the fact that God saves us by faith. We live by faith. We die by faith. And we will go to heaven by faith. And so because of that, in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, "As it is written, the just shall live by faith." I think it's interesting that three times in Matthew's gospel, we find the Lord Jesus said to his disciples. Three times Jesus said to his disciples, "O ye of little faith." Three times he said that. "O ye of little faith." And if you'll check it out, you'll find that in the context of each time when Jesus accused his disciples of having little faith, you'll find that it was first of all in connection with life's necessities. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 30, "Wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" In other words, God's provision of food and clothing and shelter. We need to trust God for that by faith, by faith. Not only does it apply to life's necessities, it also applies to life's circumstances. Life's circumstances. In other words, when we're caught in those storms that may come up in the workplace or in our homes or wherever it may be with relationships or what have you, when the circumstances and the storms of life come against us, here's what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. He said to his disciples when they were in the middle of a storm, "Why are ye fearful? Why are you so afraid, O ye of little faith?" And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. There was a great calm. Many times our faith is tested. And we find that our faith is weak when we're faced with the necessities of life, when we're faced with the circumstances of life. But I think we also need to understand that by faith, by faith that we are to be growing in life's wisdom. In other words, we're to understand the meaning of the parable. Remember when the disciples, they misunderstood the meaning of the parable concerning the leaven or the false doctrines of the Pharisees, and they didn't have the wisdom to comprehend what Jesus was saying to them. And the Bible says in Matthew 16:8 that when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? As God brings us through these situations in life, He's doing it so that our faith will grow, that we will learn to trust Him in everything. And then there's a third thing that I want you to notice, and that is this: by faith we are pleasing. By faith we are pleasing. By faith we're saved. By faith we're growing. And then by faith we are pleasing. We mentioned it before. Remember chapter 11 and verse number 6 of the book of Hebrews. Without faith it's impossible to please Him. And so therefore the Apostle Paul said in verse number 38 of Hebrews chapter 10, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. By faith we are pleasing to God. I like the way this little book ends. Habakkuk ends this book, we mentioned it before. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19, he said to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. In other words, it is a psalm, a song of praise that is to be sung in worship to God. And even though Habakkuk was not thrilled about the future judgments of his nation, he had a faith in God that allowed him to sing in the midst of the difficulty. He had a faith that allowed him to sing. May God help us to have that same kind of faith that allows us to sing, even though we may be facing great difficulties. We know the song was written by Ron Hamilton. God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying His servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness He giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of the path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. May God help us to strive to build such a faith in our life that, like the prophet Habakkuk, we can make the determination that we will live by faith. Live by faith. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word. We thank You for the things that we have been able to see as we've gone through this little book together. Lord, I pray that You would help us to learn the principles, the truths that have been given. Lord, I pray that You would help us to learn to trust You in every situation, even when we cannot see exactly what You're doing. We cannot see exactly the way that things are going, how it could ever work for good. But Lord, help us to trust You. Help us to depend upon You. And help us to love You supremely, to follow You obediently, until the day that Jesus comes to take us home. Bless our time together as we fellowship around the food that has been provided. We thank You for it. And then, Father, bring us back at the next appointed service time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.